Conan O'Brien needs a fan. Want to talk to Conan? Visit teamcoco.com/callconan. Okay, let's get started.
Hi there, Megan. I give you Conan and David.
Hi, Conan and David and Matt.
Hi.
Hey, Megan. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Great. I know nothing about you, Megan. Tell me, what is it you do, Megan?
I am a children's book author and editor.
Oh, yeah. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
I've never, how many children's books have you written?
More than 100.
Oh my
wow.
God.
Yeah.
My
I've
God.
I've never read that many books.
Right?
Yeah. That's a lot. That's incredible.
But I should note that they are for, most of the books I've written are for the school library market. We make books usually in series. So there'll be like a series about swamp animals or a series about presidents.
I see. You said you're writing about history, things like that. Do you ever write a series about, you know, Tommy the Angry Tomato or something where a vegetable comes to life or that kind of story?
So like fiction?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. First of all, Megan, don't assume that I said he's an angry tomato, Tommy the Angry Tomato. So this is a very dark book. This is not late fiction. This gets very
maybe
dark.
Maybe it's not even fiction. I don't know.
Yeah. And when you find out why he's mad, you're going to have – he watched his family slaughtered at a pizza shop. So
it's a true crime story.
Yeah. And then he's seeking revenge against the Italian pizza maker who butchered his family.
Yeah.
You don't
I'm
think
sorry
this is a good...
I made light of it.
No. Well, thank you for your – apology, Megan. It was long overdue.
Yeah.
You are a professional children's book writer. You've written over 100 children's books. Do you use your name, Megan, or do you use a pen name?
I mostly use my name, but if I'm like not a huge fan of the book or the topic, I will use a pen name.
What is so your pen name?
My pen name is Margot Gates.
Oh, Margot Gates. Okay. I can look for that. Margot Gates.
Yep.
I use an alias. When I write into like Penthouse or whatever,
yeah.
I never use my name.
No, that would be silly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always
he uses Margot Gates.
Yeah. No, I don't use that.
I'm the same one.
I'm Charles DeFond. And, but it's Charles DeFond who had a hot encounter with his teacher in the bio lab. So, it's not me because that's just classy.
Yeah.
She's a different name.
I mean, how could you not with a name like that? Charles DeFond. Like,
yeah, exactly. She came in.
Encounter.
She said, "Are you DeFond, comma Charles?" I said, "Yes, I am." She slowly removed her glasses. Her hair tumbled down. I suddenly realized she was beautiful for the first time. Listen, I went off on a little cul-de-sac and I apologize.
Oh.
Megan or Margot, what are some of the rules? Because I want to write a children's book now.
Well, you got Tommy the Angry Tomato.
Well, it's not Tommy the Angry Tomato, but what are some of the rules I should follow?
Well, you're going to need to ultimately watch your sentence length, and you're going to have to use vocabulary fit for a third grader.
So you said watch your sentence length. So like William Faulkner would have been a very terrible children's book author. His sentences don't end. They just go and go and go and go. And they usually involve a man-child, some sort of terrible, terrible dark secret in the Deep South. Probably not a good children's book author.
Probably not. Probably more like Ernest Hemingway. Weren't his sentences super short? He's like,
yes.
It was good.
Yes.
And that's
yes.
exactly what you want.
Yeah. Of course, people are always getting drunk and punching someone and then
the content is another issue.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, his children's book, I think he wrote one and it was about a guy who was impotent after a World War One wound.
Oh, man, I didn't see that one.
Yeah, he was drinking to compensate. And guess what? The Library Association did not accept it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That was one of Hemingway's only great failure, I think, as a writer.
The only one, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure. So, yeah, when you're writing, you have to, if you don't mind me continuing, we have to run our manuscripts through something called ATOS. And that basically gives your manuscript a score. And if you're writing for third graders, you need to fall within the from 3.0 to 3.9, that like range generally.
Megan, this shocks me. What you're telling me is that children's books and the children book industry is controlled by this algorithm called ATOS. That's chilling. This is Orwellian. That's insane that there's a deep state that's controlling what our children can read and cannot read. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah. I guess if that's how you want to spin it, yes. there's also
excuse me, Megan, or if I can use your fake name, Margot Gates. I'm sorry, but you're the one that came in here with an alias, and then you're accusing me of spinning something. I'm spinning nothing. I was just told that no children's book can be written in this country unless it passes the almighty algorithmic wisdom of Atos. True or false?
False, because that largely pertains to the school library market for nonfiction books. But if you're writing a fiction book, you can kind of do what you want.
Trust me, Atos will find you.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it sometimes does.
Yeah, suddenly you'll go to use your ATM. No cash will come out. You know, you'll go to walk through that electric door at the supermarket and it won't open.
Oh my.
And you'll say, what's wrong here? It opened for everyone else. I am Atos. You will submit. You will submit to my algorithmic tyranny. Write a book about tomatoes. Are you regretting contacting me?
No.
Megan, you can say
if
you are.
I'm not.
No,
you can say it.
Trust me,
absolutely
I have not a chilling effect on many people.
She just leaves.
Yeah. Megan just walks away.
I'm offended.
It's hard to walk away when you're in your own home, Megan.
Yeah.
On a Zoom. And Atos will find you. I know how to find you. Atos works for me now. So there's no way you could write a first grade children's book about a real dark subject, right? Say, or is there no such thing as impossible?
I think there's no such thing. No, I think you could definitely do it. So when you're writing for like first graders who they're going to read it themselves and not have it read to them by a parent, you need to do like 6 pages total. And there needs to be like one sentence per page. You basically need to follow the same pattern in every sentence, but just change one word. And you have to use a lot of high frequency words like that they recognize, like I, you, she, he.
Megan, are you Atos?
Thank you.
Do I sound robotic?
Well, first of all, a little bit, and you do move your arms a little bit.
I'm just thinking you're like the Great Oz.
When I started making fun of Atos, I could see you having trouble processing.
Yeah.
You weren't enjoying it. I think Matt is onto something. I think you are Atos. You have all these rules.
Yeah.
You are a walking algorithm.
Does that stand for something, Atos? Is it?
That's a great question, and I don't know.
Thank you, Atos.
I've never looked into that.
Atos, one more question.
Yeah.
How did you assume the form of a young woman? How did you do that?
Oh, man. You're calling on me for some major improv.
Nice deflection, Atos.
Atos does not improvise.
No.
Improvisation is illogical. Atos, you are so busted. Is it strange when you're writing under... first of all, do children's books get reviewed?
They do. Yeah, they do.
Do you ever... I mean, this is an indelicate question, but I don't know. Does someone ever really go after a children's book in a review and sort of tear into it? And then you think, hey, man, chill out. It's a children's book.
I'm sure they have. I haven't read any specific ones that I've read that have been torn into, but I think there's reason to if people handle certain...
subjects indelicately.
Subjects, yes. Yeah. Or if they get facts wrong. I mean,
you're more rigorous in fact checking children's books than any news source that I've seen in the United States, maybe shorter than New York Times. But other than that, no one else in this country or the world for that matter is fact checking anymore. And you're writing a book about a duck that lost its best friend, the frog, in a top hat, and you're fact-checking. That's really impressive to me.
Yeah, we would want to make sure that it's plausible that, like, a duck and a frog could be friends.
Guess
oh,
what?
Atos.
Atos. It does not make sense. They are different species.
What is kiss?
What is love?
I forget what the question was.
Of course you do. Of course, you know why?
Oh, no, Atos
because
is smoking.
Atos is smoking and smoldering.
Her head flies off.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Megan, start saying error, error.
Error. Not your does... monkey.
Megan, you had a question for me. I don't know why you would seek wisdom from me when I have behaved like such an ass, but... fire away. I'm here to help you if I can.
I've got like a deep existential question for you.
Sure.
That wasn't on the script, so you're not prepared
for it. That's okay.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't care, man.
Okay, so here's my question. Do you ever feel self-conscious?
Of course, I feel self-conscious all the time.
Okay. Like yeah. Insecure self-conscious?
Do you know who I am? Are you at all familiar with my body of work?
Yes.
Why would you think that I wouldn't? Doesn't everybody feel pretty self-conscious?
I mean, I think everyone does, but the reason is because, especially when I listen to this podcast, there's many times when, like, you are just going at a joke and you're just, like, beating it down and, like, yep. Matt and Sona are, like, at this point groaning, but, like, yep. You don't care that you've lost them. You are loving it and you just keep at it and you commit to it. And, yep. Like, to me, that just smacks of, like, zero self-consciousness. You're just...
I think in that moment that I'm in, what you're talking about is the fever dream that any creative genius can experience, where I lose all sense of self. So I have moments, and I'm so glad that no one cut me off when I said creative genius. Maybe Matt, you're just tired of hearing it after all these years. But
yeah, I blocked it out. At this
you blocked
point.
It out. You didn't even hear it.
Or worse, I'm starting to believe it.
Yeah. You know what I will say to condense this, and then this will be a little clearer. When I'm doing comedy and I'm doing some jag and I'm enjoying myself, those are the moments when I am not self-conscious.
Can I just ask one more yep. light question? Okay, so yeah. If you were an action figure, what three accessories would come with your action figure?
Whoa. Ooh.
That's a good one. Crossbow. Ooh.
Oh,
I would want a crossbow. I would want Kung Fu Grip. Remember Kung Fu Grip?
Yeah.
Kung Fu Grip was something that I think, was it G.I. Joe? G.I. Joe had Kung Fu Grip. His hand would lock in. And that just early man only evolved because he had the opposable thumb and the ability to grab things.
I think, two out of three for crossbow and Kung Fu Grip for a famous G.I. Joe with red hair. Do you know that?
Well, we're getting there.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to throw the last one may not fit the pattern, but I would want Kung Fu Grip because that would help me evolve as an action figure. I would want a crossbow because they look so awesome and for self-defense. Finally, I'd want a dune buggy. I would want like a dune buggy that I could drive around in because when I was a kid, I really wanted the G.I. Joe that was part of the Egypt Explorer archaeological series, and it had a six-wheeled vehicle that was like a dune buggy. And my G.I. Joe drove around in it, and I loved that dune buggy.
The red-haired crossbow-wielding Kung Fu Grip G.I. Joe I was thinking of was Scarlet. Do you know her?
No.
Well, this is my generation's G.I. Joe, the smaller G.I. Joes.
Well, what happened to G.I. Joe that suddenly there's Lady G.I. Joes?
Yes.
That was not
Lady
the G.I. Joe world I grew up with.
I knew it.
I'm sorry, but... I know my old ways seem unfamiliar to you youngsters, but there was no, I mean, I don't, how do they get any work done?
Oh God.
I'm sorry. All these Lady Scarlets around?
No.
Not in Scarlet? not in my dune buggy.
Just your crossbow and your grip or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
No women
That's
allowed.
All you need. That's all
Just
you need.
Just me and my crossbow. No
my
women.
Crossbow and my grip is all I need. I don't need no lady in my life. Yeah, I'm sure G.I. Joe has gone through many, many iterations since I had a G.I. Joe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure it's all a different ball of wax now. And yes, we're all the better for it, said Conan. All the better for it. Whew. Margaret, what's the book you're most proud of?
So a Margot Gates book that I'm most proud of is...
Yes, Margot Gates.
Yeah, is called A Good Nut. I like to call it my magnum opus. It's like 6 pages long. It's like 30 words total, but it's about all the things that squirrels do with nuts. And it's kind of exploring opposites too. Like this squirrel finds a nut and this squirrel shares a nut. I think it ends by the squirrel sharing a nut. Spoiler.
Oh, that's nice. That's
it
nice.
Is nice.
Spoiler. Spoiler alert. Well, I'm not going to read it now.
Yeah,
because
don't.
Now I know that the squirrel shares a nut. And who's the illustrator?
Oh, I forget Ooh, who the illustrator
You forget
is.
Who the illustrator is. This won't go well
Here's
for
the
you.
Thing. We use like a series of four illustrators for this particular type of book that I write. And so they're all... mashed up in my head, but they're from Europe. I know that.
At least it's narrowed down now.
Yeah.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Of course. We all know now.
It's the illustrator from Europe. Got it. You've just outed yourself once again as Atos.
Yeah.
Individual humans don't interest you. Only an even more powerful algorithm. A good nut. I'll check it out. I'm going to read it tonight.
Yeah, please do.
It'll take me 40 minutes. yeah. Hey, it was really nice meeting you, Megan, and continued success with your children's books.
It was wonderful to meet you, too.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, yes. And you take care. And remember, yes, I'm very self-conscious.
Okay, I will.
Not when I'm joking or drinking. Those are the only two things that kill it.
Got it.
You take care.
You too. Thanks.
Bye, Megan.
Bye. Bye, man. Bye.
Hi there, Christian. Meet Conan and David.
What's up, Conan? What's up, David?
Hi.
Christian, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you guys?
We're doing very well. Tell us, where do you hail from? Where are you at this very moment?
I hail from sunny San Diego, just a little south of you guys.
I've been to San Diego many times.
I've
Comic-Con.
Heard, yeah.
Of course, Comic-Con hasn't occurred in some time because of COVID, but we used to take over the Spreckles Theater in downtown San Diego. And
yeah, I have a couple of friends that have met you down there.
Yeah. Oh, I pretty much met everybody. They were always dressed as Wonder Woman or Aquaman, so I'm not sure I'd ever recognize them again, but I shook a lot of hands down there. And tell us a little bit about yourself, Christian.
Well, there's not much to me other than me being a locksmith.
Well, then goodbye. I'll be leaving you now.
Yes,
it was nice knowing you.
The most boring episode.
Well, there's not much to me, he said. No, besides what? What you said something.
So I'm a locksmith. That's,
oh, you're
that's
a locksmith.
That's one interesting thing about me. Yeah.
Are you good at being a locksmith?
Oh, well, I think so. Usually, they say that the complaint that you get if you're a good locksmith is you did that too fast. That
right.
should have taken you longer. So if you're making a key for a car or if you're like trying to break into the customer's house because they left their keys inside and it takes you 2 minutes and then they complain, they're like, shouldn't that have taken you longer?
Do you ever try and stretch it out a little bit just to make it look more impressive?
No, because I feel like it's more impressive when you take, when you, the quicker you are, the faster
yeah.
you are.
Yes,
so.
That's been my approach to lovemaking my entire life. you know, that was just there and I did it. I don't care. So let me ask you something, because I have questions
uh-huh.
that intrigue me. Locksmiths can commit heinous crimes if they want. You have a superpower, which is you can go, I'm guessing, what, to any door, any car, and you can get in within
basically,
maybe a minute or two?
Yeah, like 90% of residential doors and commercial doors.
Christian, what keeps you from committing robberies on a massive scale?
My wife.
Oh, your wife. Oh,
yeah, she
very
keeps
good.
Me in check.
That's good.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. All right, well, good, yes. That's good. So she's the moral compass. She's
yeah,
the one that says...
Yeah, yeah. Without her and her input in my life, I don't know where I would be.
Okay. That's a very sweet thing to say, because when I look into your eyes, I see a man who'll do anything, you know, to profit in this world. And you have the skill to do it. You can get it. Now, let's be honest here. Can you really break into anything? Let's just say residential. Can you get into any house?
Yeah, mainly because, especially on this side of the country, 90% of the locks are on two major keyways or brands. And we have tools here. I got a little tool here. This is my favorite one to use. It's called the Leashy. And this basically, you just put it in and you just feel every pin until it. You pick it, you go one by one, and it actually reads you the cut.
Oh. Christian, could you teach me how to do this?
I could. I don't know if I want to, though, because
then
I'd be responsible for the heinous crimes you may commit.
No, what crimes?
Here's yeah, I'm
what I
wake
say.
Up with him in my bedroom in the middle
oh,
of
God.
The
Oh, trust me.
I've
been in there. I've watched you sleep. It's something I do with all my employees.
So scary the first time.
Yeah. Oh, it's, yeah. You wear a night mask. It's weird. And a lot of creams on your face.
True.
Listen, I'm curious, Christian, seriously, like, let's say we were in the same room, you had that tool, we had some practice locks. Do you think you could teach me to pick most locks?
With the right tools, yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't want to put anyone who's listening, you know, give them anxiety, because a lot of people do put a lot of faith and trust into their locks, and they are secure. Most people don't know this knowledge, but with a little bit of practice and the right tools, yeah, yeah, you could learn fairly quickly. You're a smart man, right, Conan?
Well, in some areas, yes. In some areas, there are stunning deficits. Let's just put it that way. Stunning deficits is going to be the title of my autobiography.
You could pick it up.
Now, what about a car? I mean, cars must be impossible to get into now, right?
So this actually, so this type of tool, the same thing, this Leashy, actually was first made for cars.
Yeah.
For cars. Yeah. So there's numerous of different Leashies because there's different types of locks on cars, right? So basically,
but a lot of cars now use, I'm sorry to interrupt, but a lot of cars now use electronic, you know, they don't have a real place for a key. What do you do with that?
Unless it's like a Tesla, they will have a key for the door handle. So you just pick that, you get in. If it's a push to start, then all you need is a programming tool.
Do you have to pass some kind of morality test to have that locksmith tool or that programming thing?
Because you have to have a locksmith license. And so that is provided by the state.
Okay.
The state license.
All right. I have a question. Let's say I'm in a parking lot. It's late at night. I lost my keys. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm stuck and I call you. Do you show up in your car?
Yeah. I have a work van. I was actually originally trying to do my my interview with you in my work van, but last week the engine literally pooped out. I need a new engine in that, so I'm in a spare van that has nothing interesting in there.
Why didn't you just break into someone else's van and take it?
Because I try to be a good person, Conan.
Oh, well, that's where you and I diverge.
See, these types of questions is what makes me think twice about teaching you.
You're going to teach me, and I want to get that special device. Was it called the Schludenschlader? I'm getting a Schludenschlader, and I have to have that. This is David. You have to get me that tool.
I'm on it.
What's it called again?
It's called the Leashy.
Leashy. Watch. She's gonna. I know David. He's gonna come back with a jar of lychee nuts. And I'll be arrested.
I found it.
I'll be arrested trying to force them into the door of a 1988 BMW.
What a headline, though.
I know.
Now, I do have a question for David, if I may, not to change the topic too much.
Yeah.
But David, so you're Sona's assistant, right?
That's how I started out.
Do you have an assistant? Like, is there an assistant?
You know what it is? You know what it is? Christian, it's like Russian dolls. It's
yes.
They just keep going and going and going until you get to the tiniest little baby one. There's a tiny baby who's at the very bottom of the chain. Sona had an assistant, which is hilarious because Sona never did anything and David did it all.
Uh-huh.
True story.
It's a true story.
Yeah.
No, Sona's a good assistant.
Oh, come on. She is not. And I say that with love. Wait, what? Anyway.
Yeah, I feel bad we're talking about Sona.
Can I get an assistant?
No, you can't get an assistant. No, your assistant's going to be one of Sona's twins, twin children. So you drive around in a van and you show up. Now, Christian, this must be the great part of your job. When you show up, people are desperately unhappy and freaking out because their girlfriend locked them out of the house or they lost their keys or whatever. And you show up, jump out and take care of the situation. You're like a superhero.
That's why I love this job. I come to save the day. 90% of the people are very happy to see me.
What about the 10%? Yeah. Who's not happy to see you?
There's several instances that every locksmith will face where there's someone shady trying to break into a place where they're not supposed to.
So do they have to show ID?
Yes. Yes. And so a lot of times they'll say, oh, what if I pay you like in cash? I'm like, nope.
Do you ever feel physically threatened?
No, I've never been to that point. I have coworkers that have been to that point where police had to get involved.
I shouldn't probably admit this, but now this is giving me the idea that I should call locksmiths to try and get into things that aren't mine. And I could probably talk my way around it. I mean, for Christ's sake, I'm a celebrity. You know what I'm saying?
Arrested instantly.
Arrested instantly.
The jar of lychees.
Yeah. He's just holding the jar.
Got my jar of lychee nuts. And
I heard you can use this lychee to break into this car.
Yeah. Come with us, sir. And we heard you talking about this on your podcast where you said you want to start breaking into homes using starstruck locksmiths. Well, Christian, can I help you with anything? I feel like you're the master of your own destiny. You don't need me.
Oh, well, I did have this question for you, Conan. So,
yes.
And I think we kind of touched a little bit on this, but let's say you had this superpower and knowledge to bypass any lock security system out there. Where would you go?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say Graceland.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I'm going to say if I could get into, I mean, I'm a huge Elvis fanatic, and I've been to Graceland, but it's not the same when you're being led through with a bunch of other people. If I could just get in and wander the grounds and walk throughout the house and get a real sense for what it was like.
That's awesome.
That and guess fantastic. What, Christian? You're going to make my dream come true.
Get your van. We're going.
Just, get your van.
That you live there.
Get your van. Oh, trust me.
We'll work on that.
Yeah, yeah. David can get that done.
Don't worry. Don't worry. Yeah. Just
don't look at the ID too closely.
You guys plan the trip. I'll work on that.
Yeah. I would love that. That's a date, Christian. You and I are going to get into your van, and you're going to drive up from San Diego, pick me up, and then we are driving to Memphis, Tennessee. And we're going to break into Graceland, and we're going to roam the grounds all night long. And then you're going to do serious time in jail, and I'm going to get out of it.
I'm going to say it was all Conan.
I'll be gone. They'll say, Conan who? And I won't be there. And David will be standing there in a bad red wig. You realize.
I'll just hit play on this podcast.
This is the ultimate grift. Yeah. Hey, Christian, really nice to meet you.
Yeah, nice to meet you too. David, yeah. Matt, awesome. I'm huge
Good
fans.
Good to meet you, Christian.
Best of luck. Thanks. Take care.
Likewise.
Bye.
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 Conan O'Brien Needs a Fan. With Conan O'Brien, Sonam Movsesian, and Matt Gourley. Produced by me, Matt Gourley. Executive produced by Adam Sachs, Joanna Solitaroff, and Jeff Ross at Team Coco, and Colin Anderson at Earwolf. Music by Jimmy Vivino. Supervising producer Aaron Blairt. Associate talent producer Jennifer Samples. Associate producers Sean Doherty and Lisa Berm. Engineered by Will Beckton. Please rate, review, and subscribe to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever fine podcasts are downloaded. This has been a Team Coco production in association with Stitcher.